All right, at the end of this week's podcast, we're going to celebrate the release of the Dune movie with the narrator of the original Dune audiobook. Very, very cool. Big fan of this guy. Didn't even realize that I knew him as well as I knew him until we talked with him. You'll understand why when you listen to the interview with Scott Brick after the closing jingle.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we
like a siren.
The podcast, like a siren call. The podcast.
That song starts and Patrick comes waltzing in.
Well, it means the podcast starts. What are you talking about?
Big D and Bubba Podcast.
Time for Patrick to harmonize with himself.
I didn't get to today. I kind of missed it.
Oh, darn.
So happy.
Please play that again.
What?
I'm so happy.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My favorite new gold.
That's a really good one.
Oh, my gosh.
Our buddy Peter.
If Hiram is listening right now, who is the CFO of our syndicator, he just peed a little. He laughed.
So happy.
Sounds it.
Are you happy about big news for the show? Are you happy that Hiram may have sold himself?
I'm so happy.
Just happy. Speaking of things to be happy about, something that broke on the show today that came out of nowhere, Patrick told us the news about his baby that's coming. Yeah. We were clueless.
Good for me. I'm going to be an old dad. That's going to be fun.
What?
Oh, yeah, man. Old dad. I was thinking about my grandfather had 9 kids, and when the 9th one was born, he was younger than me.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I mean, you're not Good Tony times. Randall here. You're fine.
I mean,
Tony Randall. How young was
he? I think he was like 90 or something.
Oh, I thought he was in Good his for 70s, him. But yeah.
He was.
Wow. No, it's not like that. So, and I know a lot of people who have had kids that were older than me, but it's like, oh, boy. Okay.
That's why I went and got the snip, because I knew. I was like, you know what? I'm done. Because one of our friends ended up having a baby, you know, or getting pregnant at that time, you know, and I'm like, snip.
One of my friends from high school, when we were seniors in high school, right around the time we graduated, so we're all 18 years old, her mom found out she was pregnant, and she was the youngest. So there was like an 18-year gap between her and her little brother. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's
crazy.
That's
man.
Crazy.
I couldn't imagine that, you know, basically at that point you're thinking you're done,
mm-hmm.
and then you're having to start all over again.
Starting all over again. Oof. Yeah.
Wow, but you'll
be
isn't that
exciting?
That.
Everyone says the same thing. Everyone
Patrick
either
sounds
says
thrilled.
Everyone either says, oh boy, you're in for it, or it'll keep you young. So I'm trying to root for the second one. It's either going to keep me young or it's going to kill me. It's it. It's one of those two.
Yeah.
No in
sure.
between.
Yeah. But she's everyone's excited. What's your mom? Was your mom pretty
much? My mom's excited. Evangeline's excited. She wants a baby brother. So she's rooting for a baby brother.
She doesn't
brother.
Want a baby sister?
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. We'll see how it shakes
what
down.
If you have a baby sister? What happens?
I mean, she'll
see,
be fine.
I never she's, asked my well, kids, which one do you want? You know, because
we didn't ask either. She just straight up said it.
Oh,
she's, you know, she's 12, so she's very
opinionated.
Yeah, so she knows. She knows. When my younger brother was born, my mother called me from the hospital, and I was, I think, 3. And she will tell the story that she's like, "You have a baby brother." And I said, "Why?"
I didn't want this.
No one asked you for this.
Even then, I said, at 3 years old, I had to understand what was happening, at least on some level. And yet, I guess it caught me unaware that the stork had visited.
I vividly remember, I was not even 3 when my little brother was born. And I remember my dad taking me to the hospital, and they put you in the mask and the little thing over your head and the scrubs, and then make you wash your hands, and they take you in there to see the baby. I remember that whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys have the nursery all set up and all that?
No. Of course not. Think about who you're talking to.
Well, I know, but I mean, I thought maybe she was.
Yeah, like
no,
her,
we have to
more
so we,
of an
she,
adult than you.
Yeah, she has an office in the house because she works from home, and we're gonna have to kind of take over the office, and then I don't know where we put her office. So
living room.
What about that little It's not a crawl space, but you have that unfinished.
Yeah, we're thinking about finishing that. Yeah, so.
I remember this from when I took the tour.
Anybody knows somebody who's good with drywall, let me know.
Dude, I'm good with drywall.
Anybody but Bubba.
I can do that.
I'm not hiring you to drywall my house.
Do you know how much fun that would be?
Oh.
I would hang stuff all messed up.
Exactly.
You know, you're supposed to tape.
He's proudly
you know how you're supposed
gonna...
to tape the joints and everything yeah. like that?
No,
and
then,
man, I
happening.
Would screw it all up on purpose. Yeah. I'd be like, hey, man, you get what you pay for.
I can't imagine why I don't want him to do it. Is anyone else shocked by that?
So, well, anyway, congratulations. We're all very excited for you and Vivica, and hopefully
it's going to be fun. Well, I'm going to live stream the
birth.
The,
okay,
not
cool.
the birth.
No. Oh,
the,
my gosh.
The
what?
Gender reveal next weekend. I'm going to live stream it on the Big D and Bubba Facebook page so everybody can see it.
What's the mode operandi? The means
I don't
of what
know.
Gonna,
That's all
do.
Supposed to be a surprise, so I have no idea.
So someone's doing all this for you?
Yes. My friend Tammy is planning the whole thing.
Okay. So you're not going to be involved in this?
Mm-mm. My involvement is show up and drink whiskey.
We had required. Big shout out to John Hill with the fire department. John and his wife were expecting, and they didn't know what it was. So for their gender reveal, they had everybody from their church come down to the firehouse, and we put either pink or blue lake dye or river dye into the water tank, so it would, you know, come out the color. And they didn't know we bought.
You used
we had to
a
buy
fire
both.
Truck for
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and then they opened up the hose and it started off like clear for about a second.
Now, Bubba,
and then,
who makes fun
boom.
Of gender reveals all the time? Mm-hmm. They used the fire truck.
Yes.
Okay.
And then they were spraying blue water.
Good for them.
And it was cool.
That's cool. My rules were no fire, no explosions. Mm. And nothing that's going to make a mess. I don't want to be covered.
I wish
in
they would do the thing where they give you a baseball bat and then they throw you an egg and you have to try and hit it. Because I guarantee you, you would
it
miss
just
it.
Just gets flat on the floor. It'd be so disappointing. Yeah. You just hear.
You're Patrick.
It's a girl.
Patrick.
It's a boy. Yeah, you know, I will say this because I was involved in that one gender reveal. I thought it was dumb. I'm very conflicted. I'm kind of a hypocrite, I guess, because I think they're dumb. I think they're all about look at me, yay, look at me. I mean, you don't even get presents at a gender reveal. No. That's dumb.
But it is about them. So why wouldn't you say look at me?
Because you know what? It's just I don't know. It came out of nowhere. My daughter's 12.
In the last, 5 years?
Yeah.
It's really kind
of
blown up.
Of the three of us, she's the youngest of all our kids, and that wasn't even a thought when she was born. So, like, and I don't remember it being a thing 6-7 years ago. It started
Did
like...
Did it start, like, at baby showers, and maybe that's when they would reveal the gender? Is that
know.
Where it was, or...
No, but you guys are right. It is kind of a newish thing.
It's like a new thing, and then all of a sudden, everybody's trying to top everybody with a new fancy way to do it.
Which is lame that you're not doing explosives.
My niece did
Sets
explosives.
Fires.
They did Tannerite. No, it wasn't. I mean, yeah, they did Tannerite. They did pink and blue, because she had twins, and there was one of each.
Oh.
I'm like, and that's okay, good, but I'm not doing that. Mostly because we're going to be at a Mexican restaurant, and I don't think they would approve. I'm like, yeah. So where can we set up the explosions?
So you're going to do it at a restaurant, mm-hmm. at a place. Okay,
doing it at a place at the patio. It's going to be fine.
All right. Well, fun. That's awesome.
Said it needed to be more exciting than I went to one where all they did was pull like a thing out of the string. I'm like, okay, if we're going to do this. It needs to be have a little bit more.
So what are you going to do? Have like a giant like enchilada and they
I
cut into it?
A pinata filled with either pink candy or blue candy.
Yeah.
And then we can hit it with a stick.
It's pretty good.
As long as they don't blindfold me, I might actually hit it.
What about a pinata filled with chocolate syrup? And then you go, okay, that was just for me. And then you do like the real one after.
The only way.
You'd be like, I have chocolate syrup.
Yay.
Yeah. Yum.
All right.
Okay. I'm just saying. I mean, if it is about you, you might as well make it completely all about you.
What does that have to do with me? Chocolates? What are you talking about?
I'm just saying, like food and candy and stuff like that, or bust it open and it's a bunch of M&Ms. That would be nice.
Okay, but then, okay.
Just candy.
The subject?
That's what belongs in a pinata
really,
anyway.
Really weird.
Are y'all doing any Halloween parties this week or weekend?
Not this weekend.
I know everyone's at home next weekend.
Yeah. I've got one tomorrow night.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Costume?
Yeah, I think so. I'm just going to pull one out of my closet.
Is this the one you're dressing up as that character from another?
It's what I did for their party last year. Is I dressed up at Penny Lane and nobody knew what it was. So
yeah.
So what's your idea for this year?
I've got like two Halloween costumes I've used in the past. One is a German beer wench outfit, and then the other one is
What?
German beer? You know, the girls that carry the steins.
Oh yeah, the Oktoberfest girls.
Like the St.
Pauli
girl.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I've got a stormtrooper costume.
Yeah.
And it's not super hardcore. I got it at Target or something, but I might put that on.
Okay.
You know, something to do.
And then are you going to make anything for it?
But,
like food wise?
Oh, gosh, no.
Oh.
You
don't make food for the.
No, I don't know these people.
Oh.
They nicely invited me, but they do this whole big shebang, and I can show up with Rice Krispie treats, but people are there to drink.
You should dress like Mox from Varsity Blues, and people go, "Who are you?" And you go, "I'm James Vanderbeek." Yeah.
I'm going to show up as a blonde from Cheshire, Connecticut, because
the jersey and all that. I saw a kid. There was some stuff that was posted. It was a little kid, and he was kind of a chunky boy, and he dressed up like Billy Bob, and he had a stuffed pig.
Okay, and yeah. But,
I love that dog!
Okay, that's a little easier than showing up as James Vanderbeek.
Yeah, but if you dress like, what is his number, you know, you do the whole thing.
But I'm a girl.
But I'm a girl!
That people are going to be like... You like in your boyfriend's jersey?
And then I dressed up as a Hooter girl one time, and I'm a dude.
Like, am I going to take pictures and be like, LOL, I'm James Vanderbeek?
That would be great, because all your people on your Facebook from back home would be like, oh my gosh, you're just like him.
Oh gosh, what a nightmare of a costume that would be.
You just don't like anything with him in it at all, do you?
Do not.
No, and then that's why you brought it up. So don't act like you're surprised.
Yeah, but I was hoping that I could bring it up and she'd go, you know what, maybe I could. And then she would take it in a funny twist with, I'll dress like his mother or something, or I'll dress like whomever.
His mom died.
Oh, well, never mind.
Yeah, Melinda dead.
I'm sorry.
She
didn't
died
know.
In the last year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of bad about
so
that.
I'm sorry to bring that up.
See, this is why I saw Weekend. Yes.
Okay. I'm going to a party. Tracy Lawrence is having a party, and I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about this, but he hired Big Earl from the Floribama to come up and sing inappropriate songs. He's setting up a stage and everything in the field, and we're all going to watch Big Earl do his show.
I don't know. I think I know Big Earl.
Big Earl, man. Big Earl is like a legend at the Floribama. He sings really inappropriate songs about hanging out with waitresses behind the Waffle House and all kind of other... You know, I think it's the Sexual Biscuits or something like that is the name of this song. Yeah, this band. Yeah,
I'm very excited to see the pictures of Tracy and his wife's costumes.
Every year.
Because he already told me what they're going to be.
Oh, did he tell you?
Yeah, I already know what they're going to be.
Is it a secret?
I don't think so.
I wouldn't.
No, I put it on my Instagram like a month ago, so it's out there. Yeah, they're going to be Peg and Al Bundy.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
Excited to see that.
That's even better than last year. They were Donald and Melania Trump. The year before, he was Slash from Guns N' Roses, and she was like a rock chick from a video. Like, they go all out on the costumes.
That's pretty funny.
What are you going to do?
I mean, the bare minimum. I need a costume that people look at and go, well, that's a costume, and I don't want to try harder than that.
So what are you going to do?
I have no idea. My wife's been looking at stuff, and, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
How many people will be at this party, you think? Do you go every year?
Yeah, I've been the last few years. I've been. It got rained out 2 years ago, so let me think. It's usually like 40 people. It's not like huge, but it's a good for a house party. It's a pretty good party.
Quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. It's outside. We sit around the fire. You know.
Yeah,
it's
cool.
I'm not big on the dressing up and all that because it's so much effort, and then there's usually no appreciation. For your effort.
You're absolutely right.
Like, you show up and people are just like...
Nobody cares.
They don't care. They care if you care about what they're wearing.
Right. Come on.
But they don't care that you're wearing whatever clever thing you did.
Mm-hmm.
Many years ago, I went to a Halloween party, and I think it's Halo. The guy had taken boxes.
Like Master Sergeant?
Is that what it is? And it's the big green dude, and he... This poor guy shows up in cardboard boxes that he'd painted... And he's trying to walk all around the party. He had to give up after
Did it look good, though?
It did, except people were like, hey, man, cool. I'm going to get another beer. Yeah. You know, that was all the appreciation that he got for this massive undertaking.
When I was at LSU, there was a party every year on Carlotta Street, which was like a block and a half off campus. So it wasn't on campus, so it was a raging kegger. It was all these old houses where a bunch of college students lived, and everyone had a keg on their porch. So it was like a big street party.
Yeah.
And I remember that was the first time I ever saw people making really creative costumes. Like, you could tell nobody went out and bought a costume. And I just, a lot of them I can't even talk about because it was always something dirty or something wrong. But some really cool stuff, too. Like, people that had skill to do creative stuff and just make a costume and spend all their time making costumes. Every superhero character, every cartoon, and then all kinds of other weird stuff.
I want to say this to the ladies. Please don't default to sexy whatever cartoon character it is.
What you doing? That's part of the beauty of Halloween. What are you talking about?
Here comes sexy Mulan. Here comes sexy Finding Nemo. Ooh, it's sexy Dory.
Sexy Smurfette.
Yes.
Hey, listen, like, sexy Smurfette's legit. Okay?
Still sexy.
Still sexy.
Smurfette was sexy by default.
I did love me some Smurfs, man. I did. That was my favorite.
How tall were Smurfs? Do you remember?
Three apples high.
Three apples tall, yeah.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
No delay. No Googling.
It's things like that that will stick in your mind forever, and actual information that could be useful in real adult life just went right out.
I was looking to see if I had any pictures of people in costumes, and I don't. Except here's a picture from 3 years ago of me and Tracy Lawrence, and he's dressed as Slash, where he actually tried, and I am dressed as a strawberry, which I bought at Target. So that is the equivalent
of
me every year.
It's a good costume, and I will say...
And I had a name tag, and it said, "Hi, my name is Daryl." So I was Daryl Strawberry. You know what? Everybody laughed. It was stupid, but...
It is stupid.
It is stupid. It's like I still have that strawberry costume. If anyone needs to borrow it, I can hook you up.
It might be your thing this weekend.
I spent $12 at Target, man. I saved that thing.
One of the episodes of Bob's Burgers, Linda, the mom, she wears this long black wig, and then she wears a little star and a cowboy hat, and she says, "I'm a sheriff." So it was sheriff and sheriff. I laughed for 5 minutes over that and said I wanted to do that 1 year.
Best costume I ever had was a blue shirt that I had glued cotton balls to make clouds. And all night people would ask, "What are you?" And you just say, "Partly cloudy." And it's just funny. That kind of stuff, like, I hate the puns, but that one, for whatever reason.
On Halloween.
Just go with it, man. Puns are great.
I'm going to be out there in a ghillie suit scaring kids again. It's the best. It is the best. I hide in my bushes. We set up a table always right by the front door, you know, and we set the little thing on it, and then I just hide. My wife will usually sit there with a flashlight. "Hey, we're over here," you know, and then I'll be hiding in the thing, and I'll pop out, rah, and the little kids all run off, and we end up not giving away a lot of candy. And
then Bubba eats the candy. That's why he does it.
Seems like over the last few years have been fewer and fewer trick-or-treaters at the house.
No, not at my house.
Really?
Really?
Bunch, man.
So that's the weird thing is, like, when I first moved into my neighborhood, we hardly had any. And then I guess there's been like a lot of younger families moving in, you know, to replace the people that were there, you know, the older ones whose kids all moved out. Because now, this past year, it was crazy. It was awesome. A lot of little, you know, like 4 and 5-year-olds, which means they're all going to be hitting their stride over the next couple of years.
I can't wait to tell these teenagers that show up with no costume to go pound sand.
Trick or treat? No. No.
Teenagers going to
really?
Pound
think
so. Sand?
Yeah, like, I give them all candy.
You give them candy when they don't have a costume?
I do. I go, "You know what? Like, they're kids.
They're not kids.
Okay, they're teenagers, but they're still kids. You want some free candy? Life is going to be harsh enough to them. In about 3 years.
They're just casing your place to come back when you're not home.
Wow. Are you my dad? What happened? Wow.
Hey, Bubba's rubbing off on me.
So my neighborhood, I grew up in a little town, and my neighborhood was like off on its own. There were no other neighborhoods around. And so it was real easy. We had a big empty cane fields
near the house. So it was real easy for people to pull in and park. And so people would come. I know your neighborhood people do this because I did it last year. I went to Bubba's neighborhood.
Yeah, I called and told him.
But people would come and just park at the edge of the neighborhood and then walk through the streets because it was a nice, safe, well-lit neighborhood. And, man, my dad hated that. He did not like that it was people he didn't know's kid. Like, who are these? I don't know these people.
Yeah.
You know?
We always get the late kids that show up. It's about an hour after the major, you know, crew passes through. Then you get the late kids who come from other neighborhoods nearby. And they're like, let's go hit that neighborhood, man. And then they make their rounds.
My parents' town, they have very strict trick-or-treating laws. You can only go between 6 and 8. That's it. So there's not time. So you either go to the good neighborhood or you're not getting there.
That's also dumb. We don't need laws for that. We wasted actual time with the government making a law saying
I don't
know.
I think Patrick's dad would be a pretty big fan of it. Because then those kids can't come to
your neighborhood. Trick or treat in the neighborhood closest to where you live. You don't be coming across town to trick or treat at my house.
No, see, we used to, when our kids were small, again, we didn't have a lot of good trick or treaters in our neighborhoods, So we would go to a friend's neighborhood and we would trick or treat with them as couples.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was great. Well, so, yeah, I mean, I understand.
It was great until you got to my dad's house and he's going, what street you live on? Well, which house? Yeah, I get out of here, kid. You make it, you don't know.
Checking his map.
Yeah.
See if he got his protractor.
Still don't need laws for that, though.
What street do you live on? I don't know. Get out of here. You take your little sister, too.
Happy.
Let's check in with Peter on happiness. Peter, are you happy?
I'm so happy.
That's good. Thank you, Peter.
What else is going on? Anything else?
What's his name is dead. You know, it's funny. We didn't even
talk
about.
What's his name?
My brother, yeah. Sam?
Laundry.
Oh, right.
Laundry. Yeah. I mean, all the attention that was given to the Petito case, and it seems like hardly anybody has really mentioned that, this dude, this horrible dude was, found dead.
I think the problem is that we're not going to get closure. Her family's not going to get closure.
Never.
It's now it's just such a question mark, and it's a.
Do you see they found in the search for her, they found like 13 other bodies?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Between searching for her and searching for him. Yeah, people are combing these areas.
Well, that's good then, because that means other families will finally get closure.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Just think of all the things that you're passing by on the road, and in a field, there's probably a body or two.
I always think about the people that climb Everest and that you have some of the bodies on there are legitimately markers for them.
Yeah. Have you seen those pictures
and
videos and things like that? Oh, go by Blue Jacket Man.
Right. Green Shoes, I think, is the guy. And that, I don't know, there's something so weird to me. Like you said, you could be driving by somewhere, you don't know. There's a body, but these people know they're going to be passing them.
Yeah, the Everest thing is very fascinating. Ooh. So Big D, like, is the one who brought brought it to my attention. Basically, what happens is as people are climbing Mount Everest, if they die, it's way too much work to bring their body back down. So they just leave it where they fell or where they slept or whatever, however they died. And they're literally littering the trail. There's hundreds of bodies up and down this thing, and there's just people. And they're not decomposed. They're frozen because it's below zero over there, pretty much at altitude. And so literally they go, go by striped green purple pant lady and turn left and go 300 paces. That's the craziest thing. Like, you're left up there, and you know that as you're taking this hike up to Mount Everest to try to get to the summit, that there is a high probability that you're going to be a marker. I wonder if
this is why I don't go, because I would be just fine, fatty, fat gray-headed guy. That's him. You'll see him. You take a left there, and you go right up.
Look, go left at Jerry Garcia.
How am I going to know it's him? Is the fattest guy on the mountain. We don't even know why he tried.
You don't even have the dignity of decomposition.
No.
Then it's just a skeleton going, what?
We saw him when he got here. We thought that guy's going to make one hell of a trail marker right there. Look at the size of this.
You can see him from a mile away.
My goodness.
Like, I mean, if you were going up the mountain, wouldn't you try to find some kind of identifying thing? Like, you would wear a jacket that would be very identifying, like, you know, orange flag man, and you have little flags that come off your jacket, and then that way, if you were to fall, you become a better marker and more famous in a way.
You know what? I'm going to be a great marker for someone else. I think I'm turning around. I don't think I'm taking that hike.
Bubba would like glue feathers to himself. So
Watch out for Chicken Man.
He's the Bird Man.
Chicken Man of what's it called? Of Everest. Well, the Chicken Man of Everest. I feel like there's a song there. Yeah, it's like a Tom T. Hall song.
Yeah, so what you do is you just look for Gary, the emotional emu. Yeah, you'll see him up there.
We come right back to it.
Went to it.
Yeah.
Gary, the emotional emu of Kilimanjaro.
Walking up the mountain, not sure where to go.
Oh, we already have a theme.
Then you see the Chicken Man.
Gary, hey, Gary. The emotional emu. Gary.
How did this happen?
Gary.
Come on, Gary.
Let me tell you about this. We going up the mountain. Bubba's over here dressed like a chicken. Mm-hmm. Trying to look like me. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's
and more, Gary, coming up.
You get no more from me.
Wouldn't it
be
great?
We are not going down the Gary Highway today.
Wait, that is not
happening.
When you do that, you wear like you put the feathers on and everything like that, and then you have a solar-powered little box, and it's motion detected. So like, you know, those Halloween decorations that you pass and goes, so every time somebody on Everest passes you, it plays the Gary theme. And they're like, go by the musical emu thing. That would be awesome. And it's solar powered, so it would never die. It would never go away, like your body. And it would be there forever.
Jeez. Kind of a fan of it. It's making sense.
I'm just saying. Are we punch drunk from the week that this all sounds like a thing now?
To try to climb Everest just for that. I turn around once I hit Gary. I don't need to go to the top.
Gary.
And everyone passes you and they go, hey, Gary.
Gary.
I don't know why everybody trying to climb Everest. But you all gonna die.
More Gary the Emotional Emu. If you go to the next.
Oh my gosh. If you have a boy, will you name it Gary?
No, absolutely not.
Dude.
Absolutely not happening.
Gary.
Hey, can you get that Gary thing ready, but also get Peter's gold ready?
No.
Let's see what we got here.
Gary, hey, Gary, the emotional emu.
Gary.
His name is Gary.
I know this guy named Peter, and even when he's happy, he don't sound happy. Are you happy?
So happy.
So great.
I think we are a little punch drunk.
We are a little. It's been a long week, man.
You know, this is what's great about the podcast. There are, you know, and I will give a shout out because we just talked to a trucker yesterday, and he was telling us about how, you know, he listens and has listened to every single episode more than once.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I've listened to most of them several times, and I've started from the beginning and done it twice. And he's like, yeah, man. He's like, I just love it. Every time I listen, I catch different things. I'm like, so somebody one day
was going to get to this and
they're going to be like, oh, it's a Gary callback.
I want
callback.
This to be my ringtone. I want every time Peter calls me for it to play this.
I'm so happy.
I just, this is the best.
You can do that.
I know I can. I'm thinking about doing it.
So, by the way, if you're on, if you have an iPhone, it's super easy to make those ringtones. All you have to do is save it as an R. Whenever you're doing, you're saving your songs to your phone or whatever. You can save it with an R. You just type it in, and it becomes a ringtone. So when you sync it, you're done.
Lots of apps that do that, too, for you.
Yeah, I have an app that does that.
I'm so happy.
Hey, who's the guest we have this week?
Scott Brick. And he is a narrator.
Read like 1,000 books.
Yeah, he's a voiceover.
Yeah, it's kind of something different, you know. And he's the guy who read the Dune book, and Dune's the big movie this week.
Yeah, some of the last night I was watching the game, they're really promoting it. The baseball game. The new Dune. I never saw the first
one. Is anybody going to theaters?
Bubba does.
Yeah,
I mean,
we do.
I
went and saw the new Bond.
I didn't go to movies before the pandemic. Yeah. So
I went and
I
saw the new Bond movie last weekend, and that was amazing.
Can't you get it on TV at home now, though?
Yeah, you can get
watch it on HBO
Max. The thing with Dune, though, is that they shot a bunch of footage specifically for IMAX in theaters. So it is going to be a different experience if you see it. at the movies.
Is it the same as the original Dune? They're just redoing
it. I mean, they're remaking it.
Well, it's a book.
It's, you know, originally it was done in the 80s.
That was a David Lynch classic featuring Kyle Laughlin.
I read the book. And I saw the original movie, the one with Sting and all that. The movie sucked. And I'll be the first to tell you.
Yeah, that's what I thought,
the
too.
The first movie was horrible. And I don't want anybody to come at me, bro. Change my mind.
There are a lot of people who love it.
It was terrible.
And a lot of people who read the book who hate it because it was...
Also, the book was literally called Unfilmable. That's the thing. It's such an undertaking to try to make a Dune movie. So also, the Dune movie you're going to go watch this weekend is only part one.
And good. Bring it on.
Part two hasn't been greenlit yet.
Of course it will.
Well, you better make sure you go, because if you want to see part two.
It's going to be blue eye lit.
Part two. I heard that.
Two.
I heard that, Connecticut. I heard that little accent come out.
Occasionally.
Part two.
Part two.
Did you, so when you were in Ole Miss, when you showed up, they had to just think that you were just the weirdest talker.
Actually, I had to take a diction class. And the first day, they made us all get up and read a passage. And afterwards, the professor approached me and said, "Can I ask why you're taking this class? It's required for my degree. Where are you from?" "From Connecticut." She said, "You know, you don't need this class."
Ma'am, it's called an easy A.
I said, I'm aware. And so she said, "You're going to be fine." But
Did they make you teach the class after that?
She was very talented, and she specialized. And she actually recorded some of the folks in my class because they had some very interesting dialects, and she collected them. She worked with
She collected dialects.
She did, because she her other job was movie and TV shows. That she was a dialect coach. So we had one girl, bless her. She was from kind of mid to the south of Mississippi. And she could not get past her accent from where she was from. But she worked so hard trying to be in journalism. And she was so dedicated, but you just couldn't put her on TV anywhere other than the town that she lived in.
It's weird because when you don't try to lose it, you lose it anyway. Because, like, I moved out and went to Guam. I was 17. And I sounded, before I went, I sounded like, you know, just typical Cajun kid, and somehow, somewhere, I lost it. And I mean, I've moved all over the country, everywhere from, you know, I've named the state, and I've basically lived there. And so, yeah, it only comes out when I'm drunk. That's really it.
Like, yeah, Patrick's comes out as a joke, but it's still not like it
Patrick,
was when I was a
yours comes
kid.
Out if somebody breathes near
not
you and
much,
they happen to be
not
from...
Not as much as 20 years ago, man. You're remembering... We've been working together so long, you're remembering stuff from a long time ago.
Why don't you call your mom?
I can
call
force
your mom.
It. No.
Let's see how long it takes.
I can force it now, but it just doesn't... It doesn't have the same... Mm-hmm. Like, my family... My sister-in-law, Brandy, says this all the time. She goes, "When you try to talk like you from here, you... It sounds fake."
The worst is when I go to Houma. I grew up in a town called Houma, Louisiana. If you don't know where it is, Google it. It's been decimated by Ida. People still without power, almost a month and a half, 2 months later? So, yeah, it's really bad. So, anyway, I go there, and I'll be in a restaurant or something, and somebody will say, "Where are you from?" I'm like, a quarter of a mile from here.
It makes you a little sad.
Yeah, it does. It makes me kind of sad because I'm like,
Meanwhile, I go to Home Connecticut and I throw on a Southern accent when I need something because they think I'm dumb. Because it's a terrible prejudice and we know it's not true, but takes their guard down. Mm-hmm. I pull up and I'm like trying to get a parking spot. I'm like, "Excuse me, where am I supposed to be parking at?" And they're like, "Oh." And they don't say bless her
because
they're Northern. And they're like, "Oh, no offense, but she dumb." And so then they're like, "Oh, honey, you can just park here." And of course, I'm like, "Yeah, I know. And I would do that at concerts.
Honey?
No, I don't even know they do that. But yeah, I did that at a concert once. I was waiting to go through the metal detector screening. And I was like, "I came from Nashville to get here." And I start talking like Mama from Mama's Family. I turned on the Southern accent and I was like, "Why don't you use me as a test? Because you said these are new devices." And he's like, "That's a great idea." Well, the thing is, I had pit tickets and I wanted to be the first in the pit. So he wands me through 10 minutes before everybody else. He's like, "All right, now you just stand here when they say open up." And so I was the first one in. Because he was like, "Oh, she's sweet. She's dumb.
She's
I wasn't
different.
Dumb. I just put on a different way to talk. And you, sir, are wrong."
She comes off so cute, doesn't she? You know, you just never think that
She's going to be that
devious. Calculated and devious.
Nefarious ways of Carson.
Anything else?
Yeah, I have a happy check-in.
I'm so happy.
Thank you, Peter.
Still
we're
happy.
Very happy.
Still
happy.
Yeah, I think we're pretty much done. Everybody good for the weekend? We're good?
I think so. I'm going leaf peeping this weekend. I am.
So happy.
Just like that.
So happy for you.
Yes. You should be. Okay. It's a peak season here.
Again, for those of you watching on YouTube, you're not going to hear this, but for those of you listening to the podcast on any podcast app or wherever you're at, you're going to hear this really cool interview with Scott Brick. Very, like, fascinating world that we didn't even know existed in the art of narration and the books and all that. So we're out. Bye.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
So we've got kind of an unusual guest. Scott Brick is our guest. He is a professional narrator and reads books over 900. We're talking about Dune coming out next year, and Dune the movie, and then kind of he's the one who did the original book, so we wanted to get him on.
Like the audiobook, and I'm like a connoisseur of audiobooks.
Okay. Hey, Scott, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
I really appreciate you having me on. I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're awesome. Hey, before we go into anything.
Oh, no, I know what's about to happen.
Yes, you know exactly what's about to happen. Scott, there has been a really big, it started off as a discussion, then over the years it has become a controversy, and you, as a narrator, a reader of audiobooks, yeah. Is it counted as reading a book if you listen to it, or is it listening to a book?
You hit me with a hard topic right up front, don't you?
Man.
Okay, so years ago, does it count? Yes. Is it the same? No.
Thank you. Here's where it starts, Scott. Bubba tells people he read books. Like, he's like, oh, I read that.
I read all the time. I read a book today. I was reading on my way in.
You weren't reading. You're listening. You're listening. Why don't you just tell people you listen to a book?
How you ingest the information doesn't matter. It's whether or not you're ingesting the information. I'm taking that information in. That book, whether it's Dune or whatever it may be, I'm still getting the – it's the same thing. Well, whether I take it in with my eyes or my ears, it's the same.
Well, the guy who reads these for a living just told you it wasn't. So, right, Scott?
Well, I would have to say I don't look at it as the exact same thing, but it still counts if I can make that distinction. Am I getting the author's words? Yes. Am I understanding, comprehending the story? Am I getting their, you know, their point? Yes. Excuse me.
But you're not reading it.
Well, you know, the thing is, it used to just be the author's words, and the reader's brain, and the only thing that was in the way was the eyes. Now it's the ears, and there's a, hope you forgive me, done a couple of these this morning.
That's not good for a voice actor to be.
No, that's not.
No.
Having issues right now. Sorry, man. Didn't mean to get you all emotionally worked up.
No, all good. But now there's a performance. And so it is a different experience. But does it count? Yes, absolutely. I tell people I read all the time, even when I'm listening to an audiobook versus when I'm narrating one.
Yeah, but you've read over 900 books because you're recording them. You're doing he did Ender's Game, Bubba.
He did?
Yep.
Oh, no
I
way.
Did, yeah.
One of my all-time favorite books.
A friend of mine, actually. One of my all-time favorites as well. For many years, my favorite book.
He also did Brad Meltzer's History Decoded, which I know you're a big fan of.
I've read that one, too. Dude, I know
you
very well.
You heard that.
Okay, if a blind person listens to an audiobook,
you're not
still reading a book.
Oh, we are getting into the weeds in it here.
So, Scott, what's it like to read it? Do you actually read the book first, or do you just go in the studio and read it out, you know, loud for the first time?
You know, there have been times I'll go in cold, but like, okay, you know, I've done 80 books written by Clive Cussler, so I know who all the characters are. So I don't need to pay as much attention to that kind of research I would ordinarily need to do, because I know that the person directing me can tell you, okay, this is taking place in Scotland, so use that kind of accent. Now we're over in Ethiopia, use that kind of accent. Now we're in the Pacific Northwest, you know, whatever. I don't have to pay as much attention when I'm working on a series. Like with Dune, I've done over 20 books in that series. But otherwise, I mean, if it's a standalone book, and certainly if it's a mystery, if it's a whodunit, you really need to know whodunit. You just do.
Yeah.
You know, you can't lead them down the wrong path. If I'm working on a whodunit, I'd say, okay, this is whodunit. This is the real killer, and then this is the character, the red herring that the author wants you to think is the killer. Man, I take that red herring character and I make him as disagreeable as I can without getting caught.
Yeah.
You know? And then I make the real killer just as mild as can be.
So when
it's revealed, boom, it's this character over here. Everybody can just gasp and say, I never would have seen that coming.
You
kind of need to know what's going on that way so that you can at least not stand in the way and trip up the author as they're trying to do their work.
When you are recording and you mess up, does someone else fix that for you, or do you have to go in and edit it?
In other words, do you do a pickup, like in the middle of a – oh, wait, I flubbed right there. Do pickup in the middle of a sentence, just kind of keep going?
Yeah.
Like that.
That always happens. You know, you make up a right when you realize that you tripped up, you're like, oh, instead of talking about a shooting spree that killed 20 people, you talk about a shopping spree that killed 20 people. You're like, oh, yeah, that's not quite the same thing.
Right.
So you go back and you just pause. And you go back to the beginning of the sentence, so the editor can come in later and cut that out. That said, you always miss things, and so when the book is over, they send you a list of 20 or 30 or 40 or however many pickups you need to do, and then the editor just slices those in.
Yeah, they're usually really seamless. I've heard it before where they have different mic settings, and you're like, oh, sure, it's not on the same mic.
Yeah,
somebody,
you're literally the only person who
I know. I know I am. I'm the only one. That's fine, though. That's okay.
So do you, what's the best thing to eat or not eat before you do a recording?
Well, I tell you, my girlfriend's a narrator, Susanna Lise Freeman, shameless plug. She always avoids dairy for whatever reason. It affects her. I don't care about it. I'll have a grilled cheese sandwich for lunch. That's fine. What I make sure I do is that I drink an absolute ton of water before I ever get started. May not sound like it this morning because I was coughing a minute ago. That's because I woke up at 4:30 a.m. because I live in Los Angeles. And these interviews started early.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you don't want to have a scratchy throat at 4 p.m., make sure that at 8 a.m. when you get started or 9 a.m. that you've had 2 liters of water. Because hydration, man, hydrate or die in this industry. You all know that.
Yeah.
I drink a lot of coffee.
Bubba drinks 8 liters of coffee.
Yeah. Coffee's the worst. They always say that's the worst thing.
As my father refers to it, boy, you added a lot of vitamin P to your diet.
Oh, well.
Wow.
Scott.
Vitamin P?
Yeah, like you have to get a pill to pee a lot.
Oh, gotcha.
He had to go there.
You had to explain his dad joke to you? Wow.
My dad never made that joke.
Hey, man, this is fascinating, Scott. And I also love the fact on your site you have like a workshop to help people if they want to do this. Like, for instance, just want to, whatever.
Several times a year I teach audiobook narration. I do it with individual students, you know, certainly like via Zoom, but I also do it when it's safe to do so. We do it in big venues, you know, 50, anywhere between a dozen and 50 people at a time. You know, a lot of the fear of doing something is having never done it before. And so I just try to bring him in and say, you know, it's pretty straightforward, man. All we do, we sit in a chair, they put the microphone in front of us, I open the book, and we go from go to woe, from A to Z, from chapter one to the end.
Oh, so you actually read it in order.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, cool.
And so many times, students who are standing looking over my shoulder, they'll go, oh, that's how it's done. And you can feel them not be nervous anymore. And I'm like, well, what did you think was we were going to do here, right?
Yeah.
It's not brain surgery, right? It's not, or as my friend says, it's not rocket surgery.
Yeah.
Conflating those two images. But it's pretty straightforward.
I think a lot of people are weird. They're weird about hearing their voice. A lot of people don't want to hear their voice. They don't want to record it, and they don't like it, or whatever. And they got to get over that. I mean, because...
Well, it's interesting. I don't know how it is with you guys, but the very first time I ever heard my voice, it freaked me out because I thought, that is not what I hear. That isn't what I hear in my head. But I've been wearing microphones for 20 years doing this now, and And now it is what I hear in my head. Yeah. So it doesn't even throw me anymore.
Yeah. Well, man, it's pretty interesting. I'm really looking forward to now I've heard your voice. I'm going to hear on everything. I'm
it's sure weird.
Be like, oh, my God.
Oh,
Scott.
Guy.
As we're having this conversation, I'm listening to books going, oh, that's so-and-so. Because the weird thing is like every time he's the main character, it's your regular voice. That's something I've kind of picked up on. And then like all the ancillary characters kind of have little affectations.
They
kind of
sound like this, Baba.
Yeah, I mean.
Like,
well,
he does accents. I'm kind of curious what he sounds like with an Ethiopian accent now.
What is an Ethiopian accent?
Yeah. Oh, God. I should have prepared for that one.
But that's
the way it is. You picked up on exactly the way I treat it. The main character, the point of view character, the protagonist of every book, that's going to sound like me. It just is.
Yeah.
But if there's a cabbie from the Bronx, you're going to pay me or what? You're going to get in? You're going to get out? What do I got to do? I got other jobs to do here, mm-hmm. It's like those are just gradations away from me. If I'm the standard, then we're even moving left, right, front, or back from me.
Right.
But I always have to come back to me. It's like when a car goes into neutral. It just falls back to me.
My favorite is whatever.
I would keep doing the accent for other characters.
Yeah, well, my favorite is like when you see like voice actors doing like female voices, it's always the same voice. They always turn into Southern Belles. It's weird. I don't understand why.
But the very first thing I tell people when I'm teaching a class, I say, okay, if you're a man doing a woman's voice, if you're a woman doing a man's voice, your first job is to make peace with the fact that you are never going to sound like the opposite sex, so stop trying.
Yeah.
And when people go into that ridiculous falsetto, I always ask them, how many women do you know who speak in a falsetto?
Why, Scott, all of them.
Julia Child.
That one lady from the TV show Wings.
Right. I remember her.
That's right. Scott, that's kind of a throwback there. ScottBrick.net is his website, ScottBrick.net. And, Scott,
check out the cool, Dune man. Audiobook. I think that's cool.
Yeah, that's really
kind of
cool,
dive man. Back into that.
It's pretty neat.
I hope people enjoy it. I hope people enjoy the film. I've been waiting on this film for decades. And I know people who've been on board with the Dune franchise since the 60s when it first came out. This is like a culmination of a dream, so I hope everybody digs it.
Pretty cool. Scott, thanks, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, it's great being here. Thank you so much for having me.
See you. Bye-bye.
I'm so happy.